Good evening. Good evening. My topic this morning is standing firm in righteousness. And I don't really want to talk about what righteousness is. Because if you're like me, you've probably grown up in the church, and you have a pretty basic idea of what righteousness is. Righteousness is you standing in front of God, God looking at you, and saying, you are right. You are just. You are righteous in my eyes. My topic this evening is much more than righteousness. It's standing firm in righteousness. And the first point that I want to make is before we're able to stand firm in righteousness, we have to affirm that we are righteous. Before we stand firm in righteousness, we have to affirm that we're righteous. Because a lot of us here may be asking this question. They may be wondering, why don't I feel righteous? Because as a Christian, I'm told that I'm supposed to feel righteous, but I don't feel that way. And I have a couple answers for that. The first one may be this. You may not be righteous. In Luke chapter 18, we read the story of the rich young ruler. In Luke 18, starting in verse 18, the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I've kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus in this passage isn't saying that being rich, being wealthy is the worst possible thing that you can do. This guy walked up to him and he said, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get into heaven? Jesus named off a bunch of laws and the man said, I keep those pretty well. And Jesus, knowing that he had one thing that he still struggled with, says, give up this one more thing. Give up this one issue in your life to me and just come follow me and I'll guarantee you heaven. And the man couldn't do it. And some of us tonight may be like that. Because some of you may not struggle with sex or pornography. You may not struggle with drinking. You may not struggle with a bunch of different things. But you have that one thing in your life. You have this one thing that you're keeping from Jesus that you're not willing to give up. And that's keeping you from being righteous. So why don't I feel righteous? First of all, it may be because you're not righteous. But if you're like me, there's a different issue. I didn't really realize this until I started studying for this lesson. But I asked myself that question because I just don't feel like I belong in front of God. I don't feel like I'm a good Christian. When I sit in here, when I sing, a lot of the times I wonder, am I righteous enough? Am I good enough? Am I good enough for this thing that we call Christianity? Am I good enough for God? Am I righteous enough? And the prophet Isaiah asked the same question in a different way. Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah chapter 6 says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah sees this vision of God, and Isaiah had probably grown up somewhere in Israel. He had probably grown up in a very strict Jewish household. He probably hadn't broken many commandments in his life. He probably was a lot more righteous than many of us think of ourselves today. And he gets an image of God sitting on a throne. And I want everyone here to imagine that image tonight. Imagine a being sitting up here, 20 feet tall, filling the entire stage. Imagine his robe filling the entire room. When he speaks, the ground shakes, smoke rises from the air, and on each side of him, there are six winged angels, seraphim, not even willing to look at him, just calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And at the first words out of Isaiah's mouth, are, "Woe is me." He sees this being, he sees God, he sees God in all of his righteousness, God in all of his glory, God in all of his holiness, and he says, "Woe is me, I don't deserve to be in front of that right now." He doesn't feel righteous enough. He doesn't feel worthy enough. So look at what happens next. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.'" Don't get me wrong. God is that big, scary being. God can absolutely do anything that he wants. He can crush you between his thumb and his finger. He can do whatever he wants to you. But here's the thing. God wants to forgive you, and God wants to be your father. And the issue that many of us have is not that we don't feel that we're not worthy, because we're not worthy to be in front of that God. The issue that we have is we don't trust that that God is willing to make us, the sinner, righteous. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, when Jesus is giving the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But here's the thing. He promises to fill you up, but he doesn't say how full you have to be before he fills you up. You can be a glass half full, or you can have one drop in the bottom of your glass, and he promises if you search for him, he's willing to fill you up. You may be sitting here, you may be asking the question I asked at the beginning, why don't I feel righteous enough? Well, know this. You're not worthy enough, you're not righteous enough, and feeling that way in front of a being like that is okay. But not trusting that he's willing to forgive you for anything that you've done in the past is not okay. Before you're able to stand firm in righteousness, you have to affirm that you are righteous. You have to know, you have to feel, you have to trust God that he has made you righteous. So now that we've been affirmed, how do we stand firm in righteousness? In a world that's so sin-filled, the question that I'm supposed to answer tonight is, how do we stand firm in righteousness? When I was growing up, I played football, and especially at a young age, I'd always dream that I'm Peyton Manning, or that I'm Tim Tebow, or that I'm this incredible, incredible football player, and I always wanted to be just like them. And as I grew up, as I got through my high school years playing football and stuff, I realized something. I realized I'm not as good as those guys. I started realizing that if you put a football into my hand, it's worth a football. It's worth $30, maybe less. But if you put a football into Peyton Manning's hand, he can make it worth millions. In the same way, if you put a basketball into my hand, it's nothing more than a basketball. It's worth $20, $30, $40. If you put a basketball into Michael Jordan or LeBron James' hand, they can make it worth millions. And I began to realize that I'm not able to do that because I'm not Michael Jordan, I'm not Peyton Manning, I'm Richard Turner. But here's why I want everyone to understand. If you put a nail into my hand, it's worth nothing. If you put a nail into the Son of God's hand, He can make it priceless. He can make it into eternal life itself. You can't do that because you're not Him. You're not God. Before we can stand firm, we have to realize this truth. We have to stop trying to be God, and we have to start trying to love God. We have to stop trying to be God, and we have to start trying to love God. So how does that deal with stand firm in righteousness? Well, here's what it is. Jesus died on that cross so that each and every person here can be righteous. So that you can't be your own form of righteous, so that you can't be self-righteous, so that you can be a godly righteous, so that you can be absolutely perfect in His eyes. So what? So what does that mean? How does that change how I go about my Christianity? People often get God's righteousness confused with self-righteousness. And here's how they do it. I believe that I'm righteous by going into my work, going into my office, going into my classroom, going wherever I'm going, and I'm the person that doesn't cuss. I'm the person that doesn't drink. I'm the person that doesn't do whatever. And because I'm doing that, I feel righteous. And I want to tell you today that to stand firm in your own righteousness, to stand firm in self-righteousness, is like standing firm on quicksand. You can try to stand in it, but you're going to sink. And the reason why is the only way you can be righteousness, the only way you can be righteous is through God Himself. And through Him granting you righteousness. So how do we stand firm in it? Look at what Isaiah did. And he touched my mouth and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away." Isaiah 6. "And your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Here am I, send me. God isn't asking you to be self-righteous. He isn't asking you to be perfect in His image. He's asking you to listen to Him and be willing to love Him, to be willing to do whatever you can for Him because He says so. And He doesn't matter at that point if you mess up because He'll make you clean. He'll continually renew you throughout your entire life. To stand firm in righteousness, to stand firm in our own righteousness, isn't a thing. Because you're going to sink. What each and every one of us here needs to be willing to do is to stand firm in God's righteousness. Because He put a nail through His hand. And He made it into something. If you put a nail in your hand, you can't make it into anything. The Son of God is so much more powerful, so much more mighty, so much more righteous than you can ever be, and you just have to trust Him. I have one more verse to share, and it's Isaiah 41:13. Isaiah 41:13. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say, 'Fear not, I am the one who helps you.'" God doesn't want you to stand firm alone in righteousness. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to give you His righteousness, to make you righteous. and wants to stand firm right alongside of you. If you don't feel righteous, if you don't feel affirmed in your righteousness, if you're not righteous, you can make that happen tonight. And the only reason you can make that happen isn't because anything that you've done, it's only because of what He's done. He pierced His hand, He died for you, He loved you. Will you love Him back?